Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fursome Foursome. I'm Pastor Orrin Otter.
And I'm Rabbi Kuhn.
And I'm Abbot Babbit Rabbit.
And I'm the Servant Brother Caduceus.
And we're all here to give you your daily dose of Bible reading by cute furry animals.
Excuse me, Orrin, but I'm not furry.
By three cute furry animals and one who's close enough.
We're all willing to talk about the possibility of doing a Christmas episode, but not now, Orrin. It's the middle of September.
But it's never too early to start celebrating Christmas.
Just announce us, please.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. Let's go to our Old Testament reading with Rabbi Kuhn, who'll be reading 1 Chronicles 11:1 through 12:18.
Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron. And David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab the son of Zeruiah went first up, and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Millo round about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, a Hachmonite, the chief of the captains, he lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, a Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. And he was with David at Pasdamim. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle. There was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel, and delivered it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistine garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that the one would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And the three brake through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord, and said, My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, was the chief of the three, for lifting up his spear against 300. He slew them, and he had a name among the three. Of the three he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain, howbeit he attained not to the first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also he went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Also the valiant men of the armies were Asahel the brother of Joab, Elhanan the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shemot the Hororite, Hillis the Pelonite, Ira the son of Ikish the Tekoite, Abiezer the Antitite, Sibekai the Hushatite, Eli the Ahohite, Maharai the Netophatite, Helad the son of Bana the Netophatite, Ittai the son of Ribai of Gibeah that pertained to the children of Benjamin, Benaiah the Peratonite, Hurai of the Brooks of Gesh, Abiel the Abitite, Esmavit the Bahurimite, Eliba the Shalbanite, the sons of Hashem the Gizanite, Jonathan, the son of Shage, the Hararite. Ahayim, the son of Sekar, the Hararite. Eliphel, the son of Ur. Hepher, the Mechiratite. Ahijah, the Pelonite. Hezro, the Carmelite. Nerai, the son of Esbai. Joel, the brother of Nathan. Mibhar, the son of Haggai. Zelek, the Ammonite. Naharai, the Beratite. The armor bearer of Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Ira, the Itrite. Gareb, the Itrite. Uriah, the Hittite. Zebed, the son of Ali. Adina, the son of Shiza, the Reubenite. A captain of the Reubenites. And Toidi with him. Hanan, the son of Machah. And Joshaphat, the Mithnite. Uzziah, the Ashteratite. Shammah, and Jehiel, the son of Honan, the Erorite. Jediel, the son of Shimri, and Joah, his brother, the Tizite. Eliel, the Mehavite, and Jeribai, and Joshaviah, the sons of Elnam, and Itma, the Moabite. Eliel, and Obed, and Jaziel, the Mesobite. Now these are they that came to David in Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close, because Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows, and could use both the right hand and the left, in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. The chief was Ahiezer, then Joash, the sons of Shema the Gibeatite, and Jeziel, and Pelet, the sons of Azmavet, and Barachah, and Jehu, the Antonite, and Ismaiah, the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the Toidi, and over the Toidi, and Jeremiah, and Jahaziel, and Johanan, and Jozabad, the Gedaratite, Eluzai, and Jeremoth, and Baaliah, and Shemariah, and Shephatiah, the Harufite, Elkanah, and Josiah, and Azrael, and Jerizah, and Jeshobeam, the Korahites, and Joaliah, and Zebediah, the sons of Jeroboam of Gedor. And the Gedites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might, and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were swift as the arrows upon the mountain. Ezer the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth.
Thank you, Rabbi Kuhn. Now Abbot Babbitt will be reading the last chapter of Acts, chapter 28.
Acts, chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, a chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home, and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship, with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers, who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leader of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people, or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me, because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God, and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves, and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers, when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Abbot Babbitt. Now, Brother Caduceus will be reading Psalm 9, verses 1 through 12.
To the chief musician upon Muthlaban, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou satest in thy throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure for ever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to all the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble.
Thank you, Caduceus. And to top off the program, here's our reading from Proverbs. Our Proverbs for today are from chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord.
Why do people do that anyway?
I suppose it's for the same reason some students do poorly in school and then blame the teacher for their bad grades.
Then you understand why, when you are late to prayer, you receive an automatic zero, and it is your own fault, not mine.
But, Abbott, that's not school. That's prayer time. You're not supposed to grade people on their prayers.
Well, I never said I was grading anyone.
Of course not. The abbot just likes to give out zeros.
This has been the Fursome Foursome, your daily Bible reading with cute, furry,
and scaly
animals. The Fursome Foursome is brought to you by the Christian Furry Fellowship at St. Fred's. To find us, go to www.ottercomics.us and just follow the signs for St. Fred's. The Fursome Foursome broadcasts daily on the OtterTunes Shoutcast Radio Network.
Shall we retire to the Fellowship Hall for some coffee and some of Sister Gertie's brownies?
Oh, yes, I think that would be lovely.
Hey, please, Minister, did you hear the one about us?
Have a good morning, brothers and sisters, and God bless.